of text.
Welcome, trolls, ogres, goblins, hobbits, one and all, to the Titans of Text podcast. We are your hosts, Danny Austerity Nissenfeld
and Eric Ostrich.
We have with us today Mike of Stickmunt. We're going to talk about Stickmunt's history, how it's doing today, and what it has in store for us in the future. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you, guys. Thanks. I appreciate being here, and it's an honor.
So one of the first things we always like to ask is, sell us on Stickmunt. Why should I join as a player?
So I would say that, you know, for Stickmunt, we have 12 races, 8 guilds. I think one of the things that has drawn me most into Stickmunt in the 27 years that I have been there is the trainable skills that it has. It has a really nice tree of trainable skills that, you know, they just start moving as soon as you start playing the game. So as you enter the newbie park and, you know, you pick up the sword that is there, and go battle something, you know, you get to see those skills start to train. And it's, you know, it starts out with the basics, and then, you know, you end up finding your other skills or spells that are part of the game, and to, you know, really just to start to see those numbers start moving as a newbie player. And then, you know, you start digging further and further into what else can I do with this character, and you find out, you know, there's such a depth of skills that are there that, you know, that it gets really, really interesting. Some of the guilds have, you know, just really have gone above and beyond the guild coders over time to make it super interesting, very creative. And I think that's one of the things that had got me addicted to this game originally. And it's why I'm still there.
So you say addicted originally. Who started Stickmunt? What is its history, if you were the one that started it?
So Stickmunt started in June 1991. The founders of this were located at a university in Finland. And I guess at that particular time, they had experimented with a Deku mud for a couple of months, and you know, just decided that they liked the LP mud style mud a little bit better. The original, I think, founder, his name was Froboz. That was his gamer tag. He didn't have very much experience in getting a mud up and running, so he found someone else on the university network. His name was Gra, another one of the founders. Gra was running experimental muds on the university network for some time, and they got together and opened Stickmud in June 17th, 1991. It was originally called JYU Mud, which was the domain name of the University of Jyväskylä in Finland. And later it was decided, as it says on our website, with great imagination, that the name would be Stickmud. And it's because the name of the computer in English was Stick. So that's how that came to be. And they'll say that, you know, thinking about Stick in the Mud was also something that was in mind at the time.
And how was Stick Mud your first mud? How did you get involved in the community?
Right. So Stick Mud was not my first mud. It was my second mud. I had been going to, you know, university at the time. It was my first year, and popped into a computer lab like a lot of people had been using the computer labs at that time to just do printing and typing and things like that, word processing. And I, you know, looked over at another row there in the computer lab, and I saw someone that I distantly knew from high school. He was a year ahead of me in high school, so he'd already been there for 2 years. And his screen was just scrolling like crazy. And he was basically, you know, looking at the screen and cackling maniacally at the screen. I mean, just so, you know, laughing among everyone else that's there typing and printing, you know, his screen, he's there laughing. And, you know, I was like, what is going on here? So I got very curious. You know, I walked over and sat beside him. I was like, what is going on? he basically showed me what a MUD was for the first time and how to get there at that time in 1994. And the internet of 1994, you would be, you know, basically going through a chain of maybe 10 different menus, slowly scrolling by to actually find the MUDs and games out on the internet. So I wound up at this game called Cross Swords, which was running an early copy of the Nightmare Mudlib from the 90s, which was really popular. You know, I just got amazed, like a lot of the previous podcasts that you've had, that, you know, there's folks on there from all across the world. I mean, this game I'm dialing into is in Finland. It had players on it from as far away as Australia. You know, so this just progressed into me, you know, like a lot of others, skipping classes to go play the game, eventually getting kicked out of the computer lab for playing games. And then, you know, just finding ways then to sneak into other computer labs to get onto the game. So I eventually became a game developer there on Cross Swords, started to learn a few things. It inspired me to, you know, take computer science, move to computer science as a major in college. I followed a player named Jibber over to StickMud. They were, you know, continuously chatting on Cross Swords about stick, you know, and I was like, what is this stick that you're talking about? And, you know, it ended up being this other game that's out there, StickMud, and I jump on that game, which was 3 years old at the time, and there were 90 plus players online. I was like, whoa, this is insane. You know, that there's these folks that are, you know, all here, and I'm all the way over here in Pittsburgh, and you know, it's just amazing, all these people out there. So StickMud at the time, you know, really competitive with a lot of the other MUDs that are out there, like BatMud. I think there's a lot of Scandinavian MUDs that you know, people had played and jumped around from time to time on. I eventually converted a lot of people from, you know, my college to be MUDaholics. And the place that I work, you know, drew a couple more people in there. And that's how things got started for me over time, just being amazed at that cool tech in the 90s that was MUDs.
So you started on a Nightmare MUD, and then the second MUD you were on was StickMud. Did you ever flirt with any other code bases? I mean, you went LP to LP, essentially. Did you ever get interested in any Deku style or any of the other code bases?
So at the time, I don't think I knew so much that there were others out there in the early 90s. But I'd say in the LP world, there were things like the InterMud Network and such that, you know, I began to see, you know, listed these other games that were out there, and I started digging in. There was like a Lima Mudlib and several other of the LP types. So those I got most attracted to. And I'd say that it's actually only been this past few years now where I've begun to do a little bit more research into how some of the other code bases do work, because, you know, I find that you know, there's a lot of people that have played the Deku MUDs and are, you know, very much wanting to see those style of commands, you know, in any MUD that they go to, because there's so many of them. So I think a lot of us over here on the LP MUD side are, you know, having to kind of consider some of those more standard commands that are out there. I don't know if it's a Deku MUD command or not, but I mean, I think in the last week I've just made, you know, up like a looting command. You know, loot is now a command on StickMud. I'm not sure if that's Deku MUD or not, but there's things like this that we're seeing the newbies come in and, you know, they're expecting these commands, and if they don't have them, they leave. So we are adapting as we go forward.
You know, that's a fair point. I can tell you that there is no loot command, at least in base Deku, or in fact, any of the Dekus I've played, but I think that may stem from something like World of Warcraft, where looting is not it's not an action like in MUDs. A corpse drops, and mm-hmm. you have a corpse, and it's an object, and it's a remnant of the thing that was alive a second ago. And in graphical MMOs, looting is like an esoteric event almost. It's you press it and you loot everything in your vicinity. There's no palpable transition between NPC and corpse. It's not quite the same. Mm-hmm. So a loot command, I think, is a little bit indicative of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's been for years and years, you know, get all from corpse, get all from chest and things like this. And so we're adapting as we go. I'm learning all the time.
How did you get involved as staff with StickMud?
So I got started at StickMud being a apprentice wizard there. I was advanced to there after, you know, basically being, you know, sort of unhappy with some of the features that were at StickMud back in the 90s. And I wanted to make a change. I mean, I think a lot of us as game players, I mean, there's something about the game that, you know, either we don't like or we think that we could improve upon. And that was something that, you know, I had been, you know, whining quite a lot on the game boards that were there, and eventually got the attention of one of the StickMud administrators, and he gave me a chance to get started. So you start out on LP MUDs typically with, you know, just a small bit of access. It's kind of like, you know, you're actually working with the code base live on an LP MUD. You can see all the files that are there and you can compile them right inside of the game. So what I was able to do was to, you know, basically log in as a wizard, create my first areas, then, you know, worked on some commands and such. So sort of proving my way up to becoming, you know, through advancing through the different ranks of being a wizard there at StickMud. And eventually over time, in 1999, I got the chance to help out with a distributable mudlib for StickMud. That it was a cut down version that had basically only two of the guilds and, you know, the basics that were there for the mudlib. And I had got the opportunity to work more into the deeper, darker places of the LP mud mudlib there for StickMud, and improve just a lot of the features that I wanted to over time. I got to learn a lot about the different commands and daemons and such of the mud.
What are you to StickMud right now? Are you the head, the top staff person, or are you considered the owner? How has that gone down?
Over the past 2 years, 2017, 2018, I came back to StickMud. And I had been playing like crazy. I had gone through from like level 65 up to the 140s, and the game has right now about 150 levels. So I was playing super hard over 2017 and 2018, and you know, I found that the game was, you know, it was still really fun for me. You know, still that addiction was there, and you know, I had not been doing any coding on that game for about 8 years prior. And, you know, just got to the point where it's like, you know, I'd love to see more players inside of this game. It is so fun for me. What can I do to help this game out, to, you know, get it full of players? So, you know, I convinced one of the administrators that was there to kind of pop me back into a coder role. And ever since, you know, I've been thinking about, you know, what can I do to help bring more players into the game. I've been kind of studying out on the internets what other people are doing to make their games exciting. I've been, you know, really tuned into the Reddit for the MUD, the Discord, following along what other people are doing. Just to see if I could find some, you know, kind of tips and tricks to add folks to the game. So right now I am the probably the most active administrator of StickMud. I don't think that any of us would consider that there is an owner for the StickMud game. It's hosted out of one of the administrators' houses, actually, in Canada right now. But so I'm the most active person that's there. And really my quest right now is to find all the tips, tricks, gimmicks, anything that I can to sort of change our game up to serve a greater player base, hopefully here in time. So doing everything that I can to, if it's advertising, if it's changing the game up, if it's, you know, adding user interfaces, I'm giving it a try. I'm doing some experiments, and hopefully we get to that point where we can kind of climb over the 20 player online mark again.
How receptive has the other staff been to this, I guess, renewed effort? I mean, the MUD's been around for nearly 30 years, and suddenly there's a resurgence that you're leading the charge on. Are they happy about it? Are they wanting to participate? Like, how is that?
That's a great question. I think that you know, it is mixed to some extent, because I will you know, I've taken some drastic efforts to, you know, really get the game moving in a direction here. So for instance, we've changed out the LD MUD driver that's underneath the game, you know, and advanced it, you know, a lot of ranks. I mean, I think it was maybe 10 years old had been the last time that we had changed the driver version. So that was actually a very significant change that touched a lot of objects in the game. And that took a little bit of time to get through. It's like you make that change and there are errors, there are bugs and things like that that are popping up for the next month afterwards. So that's one example there where, you know, that does create a little bit of pain. Luckily, you know, I've been on pretty much every night to just try and, you know, get that back in shape. That was about a year ago that was done, and now we're in good shape from that perspective, and there's not bugs popping up. But you know, I think another piece here is adding on things to the game, like a graphical UI, you know, like a Mudlet UI, and adding a GMCP into it. You know, it's something that as you add these things into the game, and if the other founders of the game, the other people that run it, are not necessarily, you know, developing that right alongside with you, you know, can cause some strain, I think, because you are changing some things that others had made in the past. And I think the only way that, you know, you can get through something like that, get through these changes, is, you know, I think if you can show statistics that it is improving things. So I think the number of players has gone up. I think we've got some good acceptance to some of these new features, and it's just it's my responsibility to, you know, just document what I'm doing to the game, and make certain that the other administrators are as comfortable with that as possible. So not everyone has time to be on the game every day or every week. So just trying to keep people informed is the biggest challenge there, I think.
What makes StickMud unique? What are some of the more interesting systems that set it apart?
So number one, you know, I think I'd like to say that it's our player base. The player base is really helpful. They do everything they can to help the game grow. You know, they'll be finding all those newbies that join and, you know, are offering their help as possible to get them started. So, you know, I think it's people first that are important there. So if you log into the game, I mean, I think you'll over time, you know, you'll definitely find somebody that will give you a hand. I think second is, you know, how far that we've gone with things like GMCP. GMCP is the generic MUD communication protocol. And that is something that I'd actually learned about a little bit from Eric, actually from Grapevine and the documentation you had out there in 2018. You know, I started reading up there. I started to figure out, you know, how could I get one of these Mudlet UIs going? And the root of that was in using this generic MUD communication protocol. I did a lot of research. I'd say it'd be about a month's worth of research into how games had implemented that, how some of the IRE games and Aardwolf and such had gone and implemented that, and how could I do this in my game? So that really took off there, where it was like this GMCP, these UI features feel like some way that we could expose the great stuff in StickMud to people right at their time of being a newbie. You know, can we show things in the UI that are going to be something that is going to capture them? So I think that one of the differences is just, you know, bringing all that forward to the point that someone is starting. And we just try to excel at that over time. One of the most unique features that we have going for us today is that we've sort of reinvested in the feature of sound inside of our game. So I had taken a look back in the 2000s at MUD Sound Protocol. I did a little bit with that, but it didn't seem like something that was up with the times. I mean, a lot of the games are using the GMCP protocol today. So something that I invested in was researching that MUD Sound Protocol and could I do something with that over GMCP. So this past few months, I invested a lot of time into something that we are calling the MUD Media Communication Protocol, MCMP, if I've got it right. And
I think it's the MUD Client Media Protocol.
MUD Client Media Protocol, there you go. And that's something that, over GMCP, we can actually use to bring sound to the players as they move from area to area. You know, we have sound that matches up to the areas that those that the player's in. So if you know, you're approaching a river or something like that, you're going to get some sound that sounds like you're approaching a river. If you're going into a tavern, you know, it sounds like this grand jovial place that's there's a party going on inside of there. So it's something to just try to, you know, improve the environment there. That was something that Eric was also working on his side, was a way to do this. And so I think together we found a way to get the syntax for this protocol to match up and, you know, to be something that could be very effective. So the protocol is pretty much out in version one right now. And I think we're going to be finding some ways with the rest of the community here to improve that over time.
So you mentioned there's quite a few player levels in StickMud. What do you guys do to keep the game interesting for the people, you know, that have been playing StickMud since the 90s or the 2000s or the 2010s even?
You know, most of, I think what we do is it's as you invest more into the game, you get more skills. I mean, as your guild levels improve, that will give you more skills. We do a lot with events at StickMud. There are events that are for holidays. There are events that are for, you know, just like double EXP days, double training days. We have, zombie apocalypse events that happen and they'll just, you know, totally flood the game with, zombies or, for Thanksgiving turkeys and such. So it's a lot of, just trying to keep, people interested through events like that. We tend to create events that also are interactive, where players can work with each other, and maybe some of those higher level players can help out others with the knowledge that they've gained. We have a great, I think our most popular event is the scavenger hunt that we do. Where it's, you know, it's all the way across the mud. It's, you know, finding items, monsters, places, and going there and kind of marking it off your list. So that's another way that, you know, some of the higher level players can get engaged with those that are lower levels. And I'd say that, you know, it's just the skill system itself that just it just keeps going. It's something that it takes a long time really to work your way all the way through the ranks. And my character on the game is currently the highest level character that's there, and I'm still not even all the way through all the ranks for the skills that my character can complete.
Are there any things you've wanted to change for a while that have just seemed kind of impossible to like deal with in the code base?
So something that I would like to do is to be able to serve up web requests via WebSockets. You know, I think we're all of our games are, you know, I don't know if we're blessed to be stuck inside of Telnet or not, but I can definitely see the trend there where folks are going more towards web-based clients and interacting with microservices and such outside of the game. And the LDMUD driver, something that they've recently done is, you know, kind of added some Python capabilities underneath. So I think that is going to create a road for us to be able to help to expose the MUD to using WebSockets and tie more into browser frameworks. Something that I put a lot of time into last year was trying to figure a way to get my MUD tied into the gossip framework on Grapevine. I got to the point where, you know, using the ERQ daemon inside of LDMUD, I was able to listen to the framework, but I wasn't actually able to send messages and receive them back effectively through there. So I think that the WebSockets is something that I want to invest into and see if we can tie more into these type of new intermud frameworks that are there and other external services.
So you have guilds. LP MUDs tend to call them guilds instead of classes. Is there one that has a design that maybe you didn't design it, maybe it's been there since before you got there, that you just regret some points in it? Is there something that you'd like to change in that respect, but you can't because there's too many people already using it?
That's a good question. So I'll say that I think StickMud was a lot like that 15 years ago, where it was, you know, there was a number of different guilds that were there. They were all coded in different ways. The skills training was going all these different directions. And one of the administrators there, Excalibur, he had gone in the early 2000s and made a global framework for our skills system. So he had sort of lined up all of the guilds into a global skill system that it works much better together. The balance is great. I'd say if there's one particular guild that you know, I think seems a little odd in StickMud, it's the Healers Guild, which is a guild that, you know, really what they do is they heal and they heal and they heal, which is a little strange for StickMud, I think, overall, because a lot of the other guilds that are inside of StickMud were geared for, like, you know, half MK and half PK, PvP type stuff. So when you throw in healers who are, you know, fairly invincible from a defensive perspective and can just heal like crazy, all the other guilds that are there, does throw things off a little bit and sort of takes away a little bit from some of the guilds, like our priest slash cleric guild that's there that was already doing some healing and such, or the mages that sort of heal players a little bit more slowly, but you know, they had that capability as well. So if I could take one away, it would probably be the Healer Guild.
And we've talked a lot about guilds, and I have a little bit of experience with LP. I played Discworld, of course, forever. I was on Nightmare MUD when it was originally up. How is the skill system there? Because quite a lot of LPs go the skill tree route, which is more of a universal, but the guild you choose, if you choose one at all, kind of gives you an advantage in specific areas. Is this more like a you get this at level X kind of system that the Dekus and the ROMs tend to go down, or is it more like a skills tree kind of thing?
It is a skills tree. You know, so I think there's a global skills tree, but all of the guilds only get to see their perspective of this tree. I mean, you can actually can move, let's say if I move from being a ninja over to a fighter, there are going to be some of the things on the skills tree that transfer over. So like if I have an awesome dodge and parry skill inside of the ninja guild, if I do decide to move over to the fighter guild, that will carry over. You build up your skills, you know, you get to see parts of that tree as a newbie, and you sort of, you know, you have your guild rank, and after you do a little bit of training, you know, you bump up that rank and you get more abilities. So continually, as you build up your guild ranks, you get to see more and more abilities. But it doesn't matter really. Mostly your player level doesn't matter so much. It's mostly about the how much time you put into training these different skills. So you only get the you get the skills, the abilities that are within your guild. We don't do at this time multi-classing or multi-guilding, so you can't like pick up, you know, be a core fighter and then pick up a couple of the ninja skills today. That's a request that we have out there from some of the players, but it's going to be something that if we do implement that, we'll have to be very careful about that so we don't give away, you know, some particular awesome advantage that makes a particular guild or character more uber than someone else is. So I think the entire framework that's there works out well with the skills tree. The fact that I really like, you know, it's the skills train as you use them. It's not something where I'm earning these sort of credits or points that, you know, as I level up or I can buy credits and it pops into the skills. It's something that's, you know, it's everything that's in my character. I feel like I earned it. And that's something that I think is important to keep you on a game, is that, you know, you feel that I've actually earned these skills. And when I go out and use them to, you know, get, you know, 50 million experience per hour, or if I, you know, I'm actually successful in a PK, you know, it feels like it's legit. It feels like it's something that I have, I've done and I've earned.
We talked about events a little bit. I follow the StickMud Twitter, so I kind of see when the events happen, the double XP events and the holiday themed events. How are the events run? Is this kind of like you guys have the staff has set something up and it just goes on, like a bunch of zombies show up and then the zombies eventually wane? Or is this more the staff directed, like staff as game masters putting the pieces down and manipulating the event as it goes?
Yeah, so I think one of our other administrators, Saber, he's I think that he was one of the ones that had created a lot of the events, and there's a nice system there where we can schedule these ahead of time. So when our birthday comes up in June every year, I mean, we'll have a StickMud birthday celebration that kicks off on its own. The Easter egg hunt was a scheduled event. So it's something that, you know, we can schedule. The event goes off and does what it needs to do. It starts up, it ends within like 24 hours, or we can set how many hours it's intended to end. Some of the other events, though, we'll schedule ad hoc. So let's say, you know, one of the nights that I'm on there, I see, you know, I take a look at the mix of players that's on, and I'm going to be like, all right, let's do a 2-hour training event or a 2-hour EXP event. And I think it's those kind of little touches where, you know, the administrators, the people that are running the game, you know, they're watching what's going on and trying to find, you know, when's the best time for me to run this event to, you know, really it helps bloom the player count. Because as you're tuning into Twitter, you know, a lot of other folks are doing so as well. And that can help us kind of build up the player count and just, you know, make things a bit more interesting on the game as we do. So typically in the evenings, in the U.S. Is when we have our most of the players that are on, but we're working with events and advertising and such to try to extend that. You know, how can we keep a good player count going all through the day, around the clock if possible? So that's something we've really have got to work on, because, you know, I log in this morning and, you know, there's like 3 or 4 people on. I'd love to see the 10, 15, 20 people that are on in the evenings around the clock.
And what is on the horizon for StickMud? Is there anything interesting happening in the near future?
I think that, you know, I mentioned that, you know, we've invested in sound, we've invested in the UI. I'm trying to, you know, get a good foundation set up for us to really renew the StickMud world that is there, maybe reposition some of the areas and try to create, you know, a story. if possible. So world building is my priority right now, and then connecting that in with a new web presence for the game. Someone had mentioned on the Mud Reddit just last week about they were watching some of Brandon Sanderson's writing science fiction and fantasy BYU classes on YouTube. He's certainly a science fiction and fantasy author, one of the top 10 authors that are out there right now. And, you know, he does a great job at creating a storyline. I'm very, very invested into, you know, pretty much listening every night to still like the Wheel of Time series now for years and years. I mean, it's every night I listen to that. So I appreciate a good storyline. So we want to integrate that into Stigma to try to create, you know, can we create some conflict that's there? And I have actually some ideas from my past at Cross Swords, which is no longer there anymore. That particular game where they had, kind of that idea of a clash of elements, a clash of cities. So I kind of like that, like cities and kingdoms and such. If we could work that into the game without it being really something that's RP heavy, but if there's a story there that kind of encourages players to interact a little bit more, I'd love to do that. So storyline is first. I think second for us, accessibility. I think, you know, from, you know, some of the earlier podcasts here and such on Titans of Text, I mean, you've heard a lot about making the games more accessible. Accessibility is something that, you know, Stigma needs some help on. I mean, right now, you know, we've added things into the game over time that are, you know, it's ASCII lines of a bunch of dashes and stuff to kind of set off tables into a, you know, a rough ASCII UI that's there for things. And that doesn't work really with, you know, players that are, you know, visually impaired. They're not going to want to see, you know, hear dash, 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 or whatever it is. So we need to take things like that back out of the game. And, you know, rework some things like the combat system to make the combat messages simpler, more crisp, and things that folks that that are visually impaired can work with. So that's something that, it's one of those basic features that I'd love to see more in StickMud. This year in 2020, I'd actually had said, okay, I'm going to go into Mudlet. And see if this is another thing that I can add there, you know, is accessibility into the code base for Mudlet, so that people can use a screen reader with Mudlet. So Vadi, one of the core developers of Mudlet, he's been really supportive on that as well. He wants to see that inside of that particular client. So I actually did get that working somewhat. So it's kind of a pet project of mine right now to get screen reader support for Mudlet, and I think that's going to open up a great audience for Mudlet overall, and just challenge, I think, more games to make themselves accessible to people. So accessibility is like a second feature, core feature that I'd like to add. And then I think I had talked about a little earlier that it's just, you know, more investment in GMCP. I think it's the best protocol that's out there in the protocol wars. I want to see that, we're using it as effectively as possible. So as I go through and, really rebuild the world, I just want every room in the game, every item in the game to have all the features of GMCP that it can, and then also be as accessible as possible. So good things to come. And I think, that's my goals for our 30th anniversary, which will be coming up in 2021 in June. I'd really love to have all that ready.
We definitely like hearing about the accessibility, as both Bartle and Seifert have said at this point on Titans, get some blind players. Go mm-hmm. into the blind community to get your player base going. So is there anything before we say our goodbyes? I know Batmud, as we had a few episodes ago, is having a massive X-Zero anniversary party. Well, you know, maybe before the virus happened. But Is there anything planned for the 30th? Is there a big blowout in-game or out-of-game?
There's nothing planned like that yet. You probably have started that idea and begun the countdown now for us to plan that, actually. But, you know, we've done things like that before. We've done parties. We've done stick cons, especially, you know, the folks in Europe have partied hard over the years for our game. We've had some gatherings and such here in the States for sure. So it's a great idea. I can't wait. I hope that we, you know, build up so much momentum that 30th anniversary is gonna, we're not gonna have anything other to do than to celebrate and party for it. So I'm looking forward to it.
And on that note, I'd like to thank you for joining us today on Titans of Text and for telling us a bit about StickMud. It's always good to hear about development and new things for MUDs that, you know, have been with us since the beginning, essentially.
Thanks so much for having me. Thanks to yourself and Eric for everything that you guys are doing for the community and just keeping people engaged. You guys are right at the center of everything. So I appreciate this podcast and all that you're doing on the Reddit and the Mud Coders Guild. Thanks so much.